Father, we just thank you for this wonderful morning you have given us, Lord. Lord, we just like to discover from your holy words what idol worshiping is all about through the life of Jacob and Rachel, and how their lives would be intertwined with Laban chasing them, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would just brighten up our eyes concerning the useless of idols in our lives or in anyone's lives, Lord. We just ask that you would just be our guide today as we ponder through your word, and we thank you in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus. So, shall we turn to the scriptures? Genesis, chapter 31. Now, for those of us that had not been here for the last few sessions, very simple, let me just backtrack on that. Jacob had to run away from his brother Esau because Jacob cheated his brother on the birthrights that he actually possessed to start with. But somehow the parents did not communicate that Jacob, who is the younger son, got the birthright. The elder son thought he automatically gets the birthright. And so Jacob eventually ended up cheating his brother on something that he actually deserved himself, something that belongs to him. And then when the brother find out, the brother was exceedingly mad. And since the brother is a powerful man, a powerful outdoors man, he goes after Jacob's life. They're twins. They were just born moments apart, but Jacob has to run for his life. So the only place Jacob can run to is to his mother's place, which is about 400 kilometers walking distance to the northern part of the Middle East, very much close to modern-day Turkey. So he would be near Bethlehem or near Jerusalem at that time. And then Jacob has to run for his life up to modern-day Turkey. And along the way, God appeared to him in a dream, and he dreamt the letter that God's messenger, i.e. Christ, came up and down from the ladder. And then when Jacob awoke, he realized that he had seen the Lord in his dream, and then he made an altar of stones. The same stones that he was sleeping in, he made the stones, and then he went to his uncle, his mother's brother, and his uncle has got two lovely daughters, one of which he likes, and then the other one he does not like. He does not like the elder daughter because the elder daughter has got poor eyes or has got cross eyes or just is not beautiful according to Jacob's description, but he likes the younger daughter. And so his father-in-law, his uncle, cheated him. His uncle said, well, you know, if you want to marry one of my daughters, you work for me 7 years without pay, and I'll marry one of them to you. So at the end of 7 years, Jacob said, well, you know, I work hard for you, etc., and I ask no pay, and I need to be married. So his father-in-law said, well, yes, of course, since you mentioned about it, okay, you know, we have a marriage feast, 7-day feast. That's a normal tradition of that day. But unfortunately, in the morning when he woke up from marriage tent, he found out that it was not Rachel, the younger daughter that was married to him. It was the elder daughter. So his father-in-law cheated him. Well, okay, put it that way. It is that like poetic justice, because Jacob cheated his father by pretending to be his elder brother. Okay, someone has to tell Jacob that he still has to respect the right of the firstborn after all. Okay, and so he woke up, find out that it was the elder daughter that was married to him. Now, strange enough, if you come from a Chinese custom, you will find out that the bride would normally come in a veil. And if the daughters are quite similar in size, then maybe he would not know. And then, of course, he probably got drunk. And see, in a Chinese a marriage chamber, there will be bright red candles. But who knows, in the Middle East a marriage chamber, maybe there is no candles, but just darkness. And so chances are that, you know, Jacob got fooled. And I have a feeling that the two sisters perhaps conspired to cheat him. Perhaps the elder sister put on perfume that, you know, that's from the younger sister. Who knows, okay? Because it's hard to do something like that without the consent of the younger daughters. So Jacob got mad, confronted his father-in-law. His father-in-law said, well, you never told me exactly which daughter you want to marry. You just say that, you know, you want to marry my daughter. And, you know, our custom was that unless the elder one got married, the younger one would not be married. So Jacob said, well, what do you want me to do then? You know, I don't like her. Well, the father-in-law said that, well, if you work for me for 7 more years free of charge, okay, I'll marry the other daughter to you, and then we will have another feast right after the 7-day feast. We'll hold another 7-day feast. But you have to promise me that you work another 7 years. So Jacob works 14 years for his 2 wives, and in the meantime, children came, and then we have, at that time, 11 boys, and 1 daughter came from that marriage. And eventually the 2 daughters, they end up fighting each other to get Jacob's favor. And each one of them actually gave their mate as a concubine to Jacob. So actually Jacob ended up with, first he started with 1 wife, and now he ended up with 4 wives. Okay, 2 wives, 2 concubines, okay. 11 boys and 1 daughter later on. And 14 years of free labor, Jacob felt a bit fed up, and he talked to his father-in-law. He said that, well, okay, I work hard enough for you. Now the 14 years is gone. I want to start out on my own. So his father-in-law said, well, very good then. You know, since you want to start out on your own, then, be my guest. Do it, okay? My blessings. So I've got a whole bunch of sheep down there, white in color, okay? Creamy white in color. And then all you have to do is just look after them for me. So Jacob said, well, how do I get paid? Okay. You never asked that question before, okay? Well, now since you asked for it, then how do you want me to pay you? And of course, the father-in-law always said, I owe you everything. You know, you can ask anything you want to, I'll pay you. But this is actually, his father-in-law stands for the devil. The devil is always like that, promising believers and everyone in the world all the things that they will ever wish for, but the devil would not deliver. Anyone that follows the devil would be given nice and lucrative promises, but at the end, they end up with nothing. So his father-in-law wanted to cheat him and make sure he ended up with nothing after all. And so Jacob knew that, and Jacob said, well, put it that way. I'm not a greedy man, but why don't you give me sheep that are spotted? The spotted sheep is just a minority. It's just a minority amongst the other flock. And so his father-in-law said, fine then. Let us just strike this deal. But you know what? The moment that they strike the deal, the next day the father-in-law took all the spotted sheep away, okay? They took the sheep 3 days' journeys, which is, quite a long distance, okay? Now, he wants to make sure Jacob has nothing. He wants to make sure that even if Jacob were to be given the spotted sheep, like the creamy color sheep would give rise to, some sheep, and maybe 1 or 2 of them would eventually become spotted. But he wants to make sure that whatever the spotted minority there would not belong to Jacob. But the sheep came back. Now, the Bible did not say exactly, but I speculate that the sheep came back because Jacob's flock multiplied. And that goes on, first it's a spotted, then it's a speckled, then it is the white color that with some black spots, etc. So 3 times his father-in-law changed the colors, and each color is 3 times. First he said, I promise I'll give it to you. The next day he'll take it away, and then later on the sheep came back to Jacob, okay? And his father-in-law just go back to him and ask for more deals. But in the meantime, Jacob finds some ways of multiplying his sheep. He used what we call womb instruction. He would cut branches and put it in front of the sheep, and when they mate, the sheep would look at these branches and somehow give rise to or spot the babies. So Jacob's sheep got more and more and stronger and stronger. So 6 years he worked for his father-in-law, and now he wants to leave because God appeared to him in a dream. God said, Jacob, it's time to go. It's time to pack your bags and go. 20 years now you have served your master or your father-in-law Laban, and it's time to go. It's time to go home. So that happens the morning. Jacob talked to his 2 wives and said that, well, God appeared to me in the dream. The God that appeared to me in Bethel when I was running for my life, the same God now appeared to me 20 years later and asked me to go home. And his 2 wives say that, well, think about it. We would agree with you on this concept because we actually have no inheritance from my father anyway, because he had cheated us from our dowry. He had cheated us with all of the good things that belongs to us, and we would certainly have been poor. He would, if he got his way, our family and our kids would have got nothing. So if you want to go, I'll go. And Jacob, so pack his bags. At that time, Jacob is wealthy. He's got lots of servants. He's got lots of camels, and he has got lots and lots of cattle. At that time, Jacob was very rich. He's got lots of servants. So Jacob sneaked away. Jacob did not tell his father-in-law. So after he was gone for 3 days, his father-in-law eventually realized that Jacob was gone. So his father-in-law raised an army to catch him. Okay, now, that's right, yes. I was just about to ask, okay, how long does it take them to catch up to Jacob? 7 days, right? Now, so if they were gone for 3 days, mind you, you know, they have a lot of cattle, right? They have, you know, they have lots of servants or whatever. A lot of possessions was what's going on. And so what I'm saying is that when they were walking for 3 days, they cannot be going in a very fast pace, right? Now, a pursuing army would perhaps be, you know, many of them would be on horsebacks or whatever. How long would it take you to catch up on him? A few hours? A day maybe, right? But somehow, it took them 7 days to catch up. You see, I had that observation. You will not find this observation in any Bible commentaries on Genesis. God has given me this revelation that the devil is not as smart as he says after all. Here's the point. The devil likes to bluff, the devil likes to lie that he's an all-powerful enemy. He's so powerful that you have to be scared of him, but you know what? The devil is actually incompetent. Because the Bible says that the devil is actually a defeated enemy. He's wicked, he's powerful, but he's not as powerful as you think he is. They must have lost the way. And Jacob, in the meantime, has crossed the river. They have crossed the river Euphrates. And in the Bible, the river Euphrates always, always stands for eternal life. Always stands for blessings. It is the river Jordan that stands for death in the Bible. And so, but Jacob did not cross the river Jordan. Jacob crossed the river Euphrates. And once beyond the river Euphrates, he would be, as he was going south, once he crossed the river Euphrates, he would be in Canaan. And that is the time when his father-in-law caught up to him. And we ponder as to why Jacob would not realize that there would be a pursuing army chasing him after all. Why is he so confident? Would you not realize that maybe your father-in-law would catch up with you? Because you ran away, okay, with so much that he thinks that still belongs to him. So his father-in-law caught up to him. His father-in-law crossed the river. Now, if I am a smart military commander, I would have never let this happen. What would you do, Jonathan, if you are a military leader?
Because the rest of us can get children.
That's right, because your troops are well rested, okay? Beyond the river, they are in hot pursuit and they have lost their way. They would be tired, right? So if you're a military commander, what would you do? I would not let them cross the river. I would sneak across. Now, here's what it is. You have to take a risk, okay? When you cross a river to strike at them, suppose you failed, the river is at your back. Do you realize that? You have no place to run, okay? Another way is that is to ambush them when they were crossing the river. That's right, okay? But either way, there is a risk, okay? All military operations always carry an element of risk. But you know what? Jacob should be secured. Because Christ, the Lord has appeared to him in a dream and says, I am the God of your father, and I am the God of your grandfather, and I promise you that you will be rich, that you will prosper. The same promises I gave to Abraham, I gave it to your father, and now the same promises will be given to you and your household as well as your descendants. Your descendants will rule the world, will be as numerous as the sand and the sea. Now, if that is not a guarantee, okay, of success, what else that is, right? So Jacob should not be rested, okay? So his father-in-law caught up to him. When Jacob was beyond the river, when he was camping, he was all rested, okay? He should not. He should still be on the alert for the devil. And here's what it is if you were to continue on Genesis chapter 31. Let's continue chapter 31. Verse 25, Jacob has pitched his tent to the hill, country of Gerar, when Laban overtook him. And Laban and his relatives camped there too. Well, Jacob should never let that happen. Okay, verse 25. And then Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You have deceived me. And you carry off my daughters like captives and more. And why do you run away secretly and deceive me? Why do you not tell him? So I could send you away with joy and singing and the music of tambourines and harps. You don't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You've done a foolish thing. I would have power to harm you. But last night, the God of your father has said to me, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Now, you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house. But why do you steal my gods?" Now, here's what it is. Laban came always with blessings, just only in words. This is exactly a symbol of the devil. Laban said, "Well, I still love my daughters." Strange enough, okay, now, put it that way. Who would be the best test of love? Who would be? The recipient, right? Okay, now, you go to the hospital and stay there. And the hospital says that, you know, we have whole patients' rights and we, you know, we have the best services, etc. We have the best health care. Who would be the best judge of it? Anyone? The patient, right? The patient is actually the best judge of health care, right? Not the health care providers. They can say whatever they want, okay? The patient is the one that, you know, that has to acknowledge that, okay? Now, Jacob's daughter never felt the love of their parents. Never. They felt that they were just pawns. They felt that they were just used as objects to further his father's ambition. That's all there is to it. And so, of course, needless to say, Jacob's children never actually had the love of the grandfather. Never. Laban never gave anyone true love. The only person Laban loves is just Laban himself. Period. But he always say things in a nice way, just to hide his true intentions. So Laban is the one that just starts accusing Jacob of running away. Okay, now, put it that way. They have no covenant that Jacob will stay there. There's no covenant. Jacob can go and come as he wish. There's no contract, okay? So he can go. But you know what? The same God that appeared to Jacob also appeared to Laban the night before in a dream. And say to them, "No, don't you do anything to harm Jacob. Don't you ever think about that. Because I would do harm to you if you ever harm Jacob. Don't you ever say anything good or bad." Okay? Now, so Jacob answered Laban, "I was afraid because I thought you would take over my daughters from me by force." Now, two issues Laban was chasing. One is the economics. Because his son-in-law has got away with a lot of wealth. He always thought, maybe in his, you know, in his own widest imagination, that one day if he becomes poor, he can still borrow from Jacob, okay? Now, Laban's sons are incompetent and foolish. Laban's sons never make him money. His son-in-law is the one that put him rich, that made him rich. But now his son-in-law is gone, okay? And maybe he's in debt, who knows what, okay? So Laban still wants to get some money. But another most important thing is missing. And that causes the alarm for Laban to chase. What was missing in Laban's household? His favorite idol was gone. His idol was gone. Did he what? Did he know? That's right. His favorite idol was suddenly missing. And who would he suspect? Jacob's household, right? He said, "Okay, well, when you leave, you perhaps have stolen my idol." Now, my question to you is, how would anyone steal his idol? Think about that. Jacob left in haste, right? Jacob just packed the bags and go, right? And they were gone for 3 days before even Laban knew about it. Okay, but somehow, you know, when news came to Laban that his, you know, daughters and his son-in-laws were, you know, were gone, he quickly somehow find out that his idol was missing. Now, I've just asked you one thing. When was the idol stolen? Huh? Anyone? Like, you know, be the Agatha Christie or whatever, okay? Be the Sherlock Holmes. When?
When they were packing.
Okay, when they were packing? Okay. When they were packing. Yes. When they were packing, Rachel is the one, the younger daughter, the one with the beautiful eyes is the one that thinks, well, maybe I would like to carry something else with me. So Rachel is the one that sneaked back to the father's household. Think about that. How far would Laban's household be from Jacob? At least 3 days' journey, right? At least 3 days. Rachel would perhaps say that, well, you know, we have a lot of animals, we have, you know, a lot of possessions, and it's not that you pull out just like that, you know, let just, you know, we'll do it right away, but, you know, we have to do it by stage, okay? But as Jacob was busy arranging the affairs, trying to exit, Rachel is the one that perhaps sneaked back, okay, on horseback or something like that, and steal her father's idol. Now, how powerful is that idol? Anyone? Can you steal your neighbor's dog? Huh?
You can.
Depending on what kind of a dog your neighbor has, okay? Some dogs will run away with you, okay? But some dogs may not, okay? Can you steal your neighbor's dog?
Maybe. Small dog.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, but small dogs perhaps bark even louder, okay? That's right, you know. Well, okay, if your neighbor has a lovely big Labrador retriever or something like that, these dogs would follow anyone that's friendly to them, okay? But you know what? Most animals, when you take them away from their masters, they will make a noise, right? How useful is that idol to his owner? Absolutely. Can an idol speak? Hey, someone's grabbing me. Can an idol defend himself?
Idol.
Yes, that's right, yes. But what use is that idol in Laban's house? Laban is, of course, is a symbol of the devil, and the devil would like to have people worship idols, of course. Laban himself is an idol worshiper. And back in those days in the Middle East, they are actually very vicious idol worshippers. Number one is that these idols were used to curse, you know, to curse other people, to curse, you know, the enemies. And these idols were not only used as a means of protection, they were actually used as a means of maybe making you wealthy, okay? Many people pray to their idols. And now, I have to ask you one question. When people have idols, do they normally have one?
No, they have a lot.
Very, very good point, okay? See, idols have a way to multiply themselves, okay? You know what? One idol is normally not enough, okay? Because you know what? Idols prey on people's fear. Okay, now, here's what it is. So, Laban perhaps have got more idols than he can ever count, maybe. Now, but this one could be his favorite idol, okay? But so, somehow, the moment he was told that his daughters were gone, then, as he was packing to chase them, maybe suddenly he realized that his favorite idol was gone, okay? And then said, now that gave me more justification to go after them, because they have ran away with my favorite idol. Now, you have to know that in the Middle East, back then, people have so many idols, and even the Romans have that, okay? They would kiss the idol, they would put the idols to sleep or whatever, they wake up the idols, and they pray to the idols, but if that idol is not delivering what they wanted, they put the idol away, and they have another idol, okay? Okay? That's why they have more and more idols. Now, let us just go on, okay? Today we like to talk about idols. We talk about what idols would have done to people. Okay, now Jacob answered him. Okay, sorry, let's just go on back to verse 30. Now, you have gone off because you long to return to your father's house. But why do you steal my gods? Laban asked him this question: why do you steal my goats? Now, what was Jacob's answer? I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you have anyone, if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. Now, why would a household go into idol worshiping? That's my first question to everyone. Why would you see idols in a household? Most people would bring the wife, saying the wife is superstitious. Okay, a superstitious woman bringing in their superstitious idols. But is that what the Bible says? The Bible actually has given us a new dimension as to the causes of idol worshiping. Yes, okay. Back then, back in the Middle Ages or in the Middle East or whatever, your favorite idols are normally a dress-up with gold, silver, and lots of precious stones, diamond, jewelries, or whatever, okay, pearls. They're normally dressed up well, okay? But however, the Bible has actually told us the reason why idols are in any household is because the man of the household is afraid. Tradition will bring the woman, but the Bible brings the man. The Bible says that. Jacob was saying, I was afraid. Now, well, of course you would say that, you know, that was not a direct cause because, you know, Jacob did not intend it to say it like that. But Jacob had told Laban, because I was afraid, that's why I ran away. And the way that I pieced the story is that when Jacob was packing his bags, he said, wow, you know, I'm so afraid that, well, God has called me back home, but, you know, what if your father chased me or whatever, okay? And well, let's not tell him, but, you know, let's pack our bags secretly, but hey, look, I have a big household. I've got many servants, and my servants would have got friends and relatives, right? What if my servants start to tell? You know, and my father-in-law would find out what's going to happen if he changed me. And Rachel heard it, and so Rachel maybe said to herself, let me do something for my husband. Rachel rushed home, and Rachel was the one that stole the idol. Now, back then, okay, idols were not only used to bring fortune to people, idols were more like a compass or like a direction finder, okay? When people are in hot pursuit of their enemies, they normally would bring their favorite idol with them. They think that the idols would protect them in warfare. They think that the idols may perhaps help them to find where the enemies have gone to, okay? So Rachel perhaps thinks, wow, wait a minute, maybe my father has a favorite idol that he can draw lots of power on. But let me just maybe steal that from my father. And then in this case, maybe my father cannot find me. See, Rachel is the one that suddenly steal the idol. You will know that idol was somehow connected with Jacob's disappearance. That Rachel went back home to steal the idol in the last minute. And with that, the reason was just to protect her husband in a way. Because, you know, the way I see it is that Rachel does not seem to be an idol worshiper all these years. And suddenly they had one idol, and the idol does not came from Rachel. The idol, well, she could have got enough money to buy her own idols, but the idol was stolen from her father's household. So what I'm saying is that, hey guys, we got to watch out. If we actually lost our leadership at home, if we cannot give security, love, and safety in our family, if we ever show fear in an illogical way, that opens the door on our household to idol worshiping. Idols prey on people's fear, not on people's craving for riches. The first motivation for idol worshiping is actually fear. The second motivation is, of course, riches and monies, okay? The first thing why anyone would go into idol is that I felt afraid and I felt an idol may protect me. So the Bible has given us, strange enough, it was the husband that started the idol worshiping. The husband, because he felt insecure. So guys, best luck you can give your wife is joy and peace at home. And the way to do it is that a lot of guys normally she caused fear and instability at home. But a Chinese husband would keep a lot of things to himself. Not that he does not respect his wife, but he felt that, you know, by voicing all of his fears, it actually creates instability at home. But of course, Western psychology would say that that's not a good way to handle your emotions. Okay, Western psychology says that share it. Okay, tell everyone that, you know, okay, in Japan or in Hong Kong, when a guy got laid off, that happens now, he would not tell his wife. You heard about that, right? Yeah. He would just dress up and go to work, pretending he goes to work. That's right. And then they will wander in the park, okay? They probably, you know, go on subway station and play computer games, okay? Well, yes. And eventually, somehow, maybe the wife would one day find out about it and find out that maybe he was out of work for months. Now, you would say that perhaps that is not the best way to handle the problems with your career. However, the other extreme is that, you know, the moment you lay off, you know, you got laid off, you tell your wife, oh, I'm dead, you know, I'm finished, okay? God has now kicking us to the burner, okay? God has finished us off, okay? Oh, you know, poor me, you know, I'm dead, etc., okay? And now, that is not a very good way too, okay? So what I'm saying is that idol worshiping was caused by fear. By the man's fear, most of all. The same thing is that when Adam and Eve, when they ate the forbidden fruit, who ate the fruit first? Eve is the one that ate the fruit first, right? What about Adam? Adam was standing right next to her. Did Adam stop her?
No.
He was a fool, okay? Adam was a fool. Adam did not stop his wife. And Eve ate the fruit, and he also got the fruit from his wife, which he also ate. And suddenly they discovered they were naked. So they had to make up fake leaves, you know, for clothing. And the Bible was saying that the Lord came. The Lord came into the garden. And who was the one that the Lord was asking for? Yes. Who was the one that ate the fruit first? Eve is the one that ate the fruit first, right? But God asked for Adam. Adam, where are you? See, the Bible has actually given us a lot of indications that God put a lot of responsibilities to the man of the household. He's supposed to straighten out his household. He's supposed to inspire fear, love, and respect for the Lord. But the moment a husband is fearful, somehow, you know what? His wife will find out. There's some sort of body language that is universal. Okay, if your husband is scared, your wife would know. So the first reason for idol worshiping is actually fear. Now, let us just go on. What does it say in verse 31? Let him not live. Now, Jacob, of course, did not know that his wife, Rachel, his favorite wife, Rachel, stole the idol. Jacob did not know that. And Jacob was saying that if anyone was caught with your idol, let the person be executed right away in front of you. Let him not live. Okay, he was really what it is. That is the first result of idol worshiping. It's death. The result of idol worshiping is death. Period. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, it says that, do not seal up the words of prophecy in this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong, but let him do who is wild continue to be wild, but let him do right continue to do what's right, and let him be holy continue to be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon. My rewards is with me. That's in the book of Revelations. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash the robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Outside, there are the dogs and those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and anyone who loves and practices falsehood. See, even in the book of Revelations towards the end, it's really more like an epilogue. St. John was trying to tell the people, this is exactly what God has put into his mind. That is the warning that whoever that practices magic or idol worshipping, whoever that practices evil, will be cast out of the gate of heaven, period. They have no part in God's kingdom. They will be regarded as dogs, period. Cast out. And well, dogs had a bad image back then, okay? They're not looked upon as pets. They were looked upon more or less as dirty animals, as wolf, you know, as bad as wolves or vultures or whatever. Okay, dogs had a bad public image back then. Okay, people were saying, you know, when you're saying someone is a dog, that is a big insult. See, the Bible is saying that anyone that practices idol worshiping will be cast out from the gate of heaven. They can never go in. So the result of idol worshiping is death. So that's the reason why Jacob was saying that. If anyone would be found with your gods, let him not live. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, St. Paul has got a similar warning to the folks in Corinth. He says that, Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idol worshippers, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkenness, nor slanderers, nor swindlers would ever inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But now you're washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus and in by the Spirit of our Lord. St. Paul had a similar warning to people. See, the result of idol worshipping is death, spiritual death. Period. Thirdly, let us just look at what idol worshipping would do to people. He says, in the presence of our relatives, let's continue with verse 32. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourselves whether there is any of yours here with me. If so, take it. Now, Jacob did not know that Rachel has stolen the gods. Ah, here we are. How many gods are we talking about? It seems to be one, right? See, idols always had a way to somehow multiply themselves, okay? First, it appears that Rachel has stolen one idol, but actually she has perhaps stolen a bunch of idols because they were set in plural, okay? Now, whoever that is caught doing idol worshipping, the Bible is saying that they will be exposed. Let the person be exposed! Third, that is the third penalty for idol worshipping. The first penalty for idol worshipping is that it reveals that you were fearful. It reveals a fear in your life. The second thing is that it reveals death in your life. And thirdly, the Bible says that an idol worshipper would be exposed in shame. Well, true enough, in the days of final judgment, all the idol worshippers, all the adulterers, they will be judged and they will be kicked out from the gate of heaven. They can never enter there. They will be exposed to public shame. And let's just go on. Let's go on with the fourth concept of idol worshipping. Now, Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the goods. Ah, here's what it is. The righteousness, the sons of God, shall have no part in idol worshipping. Now, Jacob truly did not know, okay? He has no responsibility. See, the heavenly bridegroom would know, okay? The earthly groom is somehow ignorant, okay? Because Jacob is still a man, okay? But the heavenly bridegroom, the heavenly spouse, the heavenly husband would know that the church is somehow filled with idols. How many churches are filled with idols? Anyone? A lot, yes. What kind of idols you see in some churches? Huh? Well, yeah, but they're not a church, okay? Have you been to a Catholic church lately?
Oh, like
Yes, okay. They have statues of Mary. They never call these idols. But the Bible says that you should not make any graven images of anything that is on, in heaven or on earth. Okay, the Bible is saying that you should not do that. Period. Neither should you bow down on them. The Catholics, in trying to masquerade the idol worshiping, struck out law number 2 from the Ten Commandments. Ha! Huh. When I was a kid, I was in a Catholic school. When I recited the Ten Commandments, I always had a suspicion. How come the Ten Commandments sounds like there are 9 commandments? Something seems to be missing there. How come it says that thou should not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou should not covet thy neighbor's goods as the 10th commandment according to the Catholic faith? Why would it be? Is it not covet that thou shalt not steal? And then I figure out that, well, if that's the case, then we actually had 9 commandments. But they make the part A and part B, okay? Saying 10 commandments is stretching the point. I never had the guts to ask my teacher because they would have said that I'm stupid, okay? Don't you know how to count to 10? I said, no, wait a minute. When I count my fingers, I always end up with 9. Then, you know what? When I read the Bible, I know why. They struck out 1 commandment, okay? They struck out the 2nd commandment that you should not make graven images of anything under the sun, in heavens or on earth, and neither should you bow down on them. So a lot of religions, they're trying to protect the idol worshiping, would like to change God's words. Period. Okay? And so the heavenly husband would find out. Okay? Jacob claims no responsibility. Jacob says, I don't know. But the fourth point about idol worshiping, God knows that you are an idol worshiper. If you're an idol worshiper, God knows. Many people who go to evangelical churches hide their idol worshiping too. Many people do that. You know how they hide it? Now, idol worshiping is normally associated with fear. They're normally also associated with the craving for money. Does Obama worship idols?
Obama?
Yes, yep. United States.
They have the Lucky Charms.
That's right, yes. The first man has got a lot of first idols, okay? He just found, he just got his first dog, okay? But he has also got his many, many idols. As he was going on his campaigns, Newsweek says that his pocket is full of idols. He's got a crucifix, he's got the rosary, he's got 2 Indian gods, okay? He's got the Indian monkey god. He's also got the Indian god called Ganesh, which is an elephant head with a human body. Yes, and he's got a Buddha. All of that. He kept it in his pocket. Newsweek found this out. Yes, he called himself a Christian. All United States presidents call themselves Christians. But inside his pocket is full of these wicked charms, full of idols. And of course, Obama supports abortion on demand. Okay, a lot of churches will not support him on that issue. But somehow still managed to get the Catholic vote. Strange enough. Catholics were told not to vote for him, okay? But I guess the Vatican does not have enough power over the American people, okay? His campaign platform is firstly about pulling out from Iraq and also about abortion, which he's put a very firm stand on. Well, that does not say that the other people, John McCain. John McCain has got his own idols too, okay? What kind of idols does he have? He's got a good luck tie. That he wears everywhere, okay? And what about Hillary Clinton?
Got like a bracelet?
Yes, she has a good luck bracelet, okay? See, Christians who call themselves Christians always have to be careful. Many who call themselves Christians had these idols secretly tucked inside their pockets. Yes.
Why do they even call themselves Christians?
Good point. Why do they call themselves Christians? They call themselves Christians because they want to be politically correct in times of elections. Strange enough, whenever there's a U.S. election, all the candidates call themselves Christians. But the moment they got what they wanted, they don't talk about it anymore, okay? Does Urbanus still tell you that he's a Christian? No! See, a lot of people will use Christianity to further their objectives in life. Most of it is money-wise. A lot of Christians felt that if they have idols, people would not find out. Well, if Newsweek can find out what Urbanus is having in his pocket, I'm sure that God sees that too. So idol worshippers would be exposed in public, but not only that, the fourth point is that idol worshippers would be exposed to God's scrutiny. God would see them as they are an idol worshipper. There's no way you can hide from God. And let's just look at verse 33, what it says in there. So Laban went up to Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent, and the tent of his two maidservants, but he found nothing. You know what idol worshipping does to people? It actually separates people. Do you see that in there? If they're one happy family, okay. If they're one happy family, should they not live in one tent? Should they not? Right? But how many tents do we have in here? Just look at it. You have Jacob's tent. You have Leah's tent. You have the tent of the two maidservants. And guess what? Finally, there's also Leah's tent. Now, you would find that it goes wrong in a circle, right? Leah's. Then, of course, there's Rachel's tent, okay? And it came out of Leah's tent, and it entered into Rachel's tent. Now, Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel saddle. Now, yes? Is it time to go upstairs? It's only 11. Still got about 15 more minutes to go. Now, but if you want to go, you can excuse yourself. And hope I've not talked too long. I don't know about the rumbling of feet you may have heard about upstairs. But anyway, the fifth point about idol worshiping is that it actually separates people in the household. Idols separate people. Idols don't put a family together. Idols would separate a household. Yes. If you go to an East Indian home, you find many idols in there, and people put up with their favorite idols. Okay? They have their favorite idols. Now, what happens is that if you go into a rich Hindu home, they would have a separate altar whereby they would put their favorite idols there. You know, the son will put his idols, the daughter will put his idols, and sure enough, you have a whole room full of idols, okay? What happens when the son goes into the idol home, you know, in the idol room, in the Hindu home, in the rich Hindu home, he will pray to his own idols, and his sister would go to the same room and pray to her idols. Does the family communicate? No, this is it. In a Hindu home, they may be praying in the same room, but they are a separated family because the idol separates them. You see, that is the difference between Christianity and idol worshipping. Because the idols are many. You see that in the Bible, it's gods, okay? Rachel did not take only one god. Rachel grabbed a bundle. Grabbed a bundle of idols, okay? Christianity says that we all worship the same God who loves us. And when a family worships the same God together, when a family prays to this one God, the family is not separated. The family is now united. But idol worshiping, because the fact that there are many, many kinds of idols, idol worshiping separates people in the household. And a lot of problems with a household is because of separation. Emotional separation. Fiscal. Money separation. Think about that. A husband and a wife, they have their both secret bank accounts, okay? Okay? Idols separate people. Period, okay? But you have to see that, and it came out. See, Rachel is the one that had taken the household gods, and she had put them under the camel saddle, and she was sitting on them. Okay, now, this is how Rachel managed to cheat her father. Jacob was saying, well, go search, okay? Most people would put the idols in their own tents, right? Most people would have done that, okay? And not expecting Laban would show up. to do a search, okay? But somehow, Rachel knew. Maybe, you know, she's daddy's favorite, okay? She knew what daddy would be up to. So Rachel hid the idols underneath the saddle and the camel. Now, if Rachel were to be riding a Chinese camel, okay, it would be even better hidden, because how many humps does a Chinese camel have? 2 humps, okay? That means there's, you know, that means there was a good gap that you can put a good saddle in, okay? But a Middle East camel has got only 1 hump, okay? Which means that it's a bit more difficult to put a saddle there. But once when you put a saddle there, you can hide a lot of things underneath the saddle, okay? So Rachel put the idols underneath the camel. Now, what is the image of a camel in the Old Testament? Camel normally is used to signify riches. However, a camel is also regarded as a dirty animal, because camels don't keep themselves very clean. Camels like to spit, okay, just like a llama, okay? Camels like to spit. Camels are not very clean animals. And they are somehow, you know, a bit stupid, and they may be vicious to other people, except their owners, okay? Camels were used as a symbol to talk about the filthy rich, okay? The rich, but the filthy rich, okay? That's what the camels are. And so what I'm saying is, what good is a camel? What good is an idol? The idol is not associated with anything that is pure and lovely, okay? It's the character. It's the character of the camel that, you know, makes the camel such a good image. The filthy rich, that's what it is, okay? Now, but guess what? The sixth point that I'm saying is that, you know, what is the favorite, what is the proper pace for a camel? Oh, sorry, what's the proper pace for an idol? To be sat on, okay? Now, when Rachel was sitting on her father's idols, is that a way to respect the idol? How many people you see in a Chinese household that worship idols, they actually sit on their idols?
They accidentally sit on it.
Well, but Rachel is not accidentally sitting on it, right? All Chinese idols were put on altars, right? Yeah. You would not find one person to sit on an idol.
Yeah, but if her leaving her found out, if she's that
ring on it, she's like, yes, that's right, yes. And you know how Rachel hides that too? She says that I'm having my period. You'll find out in your biology classes later on. Okay, when you get a bit older, you will find out, okay? But Rachel is having her period, and what happened is that, okay, she is not clean according to the biblical physical standard. Now, I'm not talking about spiritually, but I'm talking about physically, that because there would be, like, there could be blood running off. She is not regarded as clean, okay? But since she was sitting on the idol, how clean would the idol be? Not very clean, right? But that is the fitting place for an idol. Underneath a camel saddle, being set on a woman who is having her period, okay? You see, it's a dirty beast. You see, and you know what? The idol is hidden underneath the saddle. Now, if the idol is with life, you know what the idol will say? Help me, right? Someone is stalking me, okay? I'm inside Rachel's saddle. Come help me. Come pick me up. Would the devil, you know, would the idol say that? No. Idols cannot hear. See, that's what the Bible says about the useless of idols. They have ears that cannot hear, they have eyes that cannot see, they have mouths that cannot speak. And whoever that follows, that will be like them, okay? They will be just dead and deaf, period. There's a Chinese poem that says about with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 9, and 10 about the useless of an idol. It's hard to translate, but I do my best in English to say that they have one mouth that cannot speak. They have 2 eyes that cannot see. 3, okay, the Chinese like to have 3 meals, okay. 3 meals a day they cannot eat, okay. Okay, and the 4 dimensions and the faces are not, you know, does not have life. Because, okay, like the 4 limbs do not move, okay. The 5, like the eyes, you know, and the noses, you know, like the 5 senses are not active. And then six is that you don't have any relatives, okay? Six relatives will not come to you, okay? And seven means, you know, like the seven outlets of your bodies, like, you know, your nose and the mouth and all that, they are blocked, okay? And eight is that, you know, you stand there with all, you know, with eight kinds of glory, but somehow it's useless. And nine means that you sit for a long time but with no result. 10 means it's you're useless. I'll try to say this in Cantonese, and those of you that can understand Cantonese may appreciate. How many understand Cantonese? How many? Okay, so I would like to say this in Cantonese, okay? And you know, because it's from a Chinese poem that talks about the useless of an idol. Yat hao mo yin, shung mok mo kwang, sam chan pat sik, se ji pat dong, ng kun pat jing, lok chan mo ching, chat hiu pat tong, bat min wai fung, gao jo pat dong, sap fun mo yong. Useless, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10, okay? Maybe, you know, it's hard to translate, okay? Because, you know, a lot of it is because of Chinese idioms. But that's basically what it is. An idol is useless. It will be set down. Humiliation, okay? Idols will be humiliated by their owners, especially by Rachel. And idols do not have loyalty, right? Does the idol feel any loyalty to Laban? Laban raised an army trying to find the idol, right? But the idol said, oh, I'm so grateful for you. Help! I'm here! Someone's keeping me hostage. No such thing, right? Someone's sitting on me, okay? Help me, right? No. And lastly, if you look at Genesis 35:2, let's just do this, and then, you know, then we can finalize what idol worshiping to do to people. Genesis 35, verse 2. So Jacob said to his household, and to all that were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves, and change your clothing. Then came, and let's go to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answers me in the day of my distress, who has been with me whenever I have gone. See, Jacob would meet his most fearful brother in chapter 32. And then after that, these two brothers, they make up and then they separate once again. And you enter in chapter 35, God told Jacob, go back to Bethel. You wander away from Bethel, go back to that. And that at that time, Jacob dedicated his household. And suddenly Jacob realized that his household is full of idols. Where does all these idols come from? They all started from Rachel's idols, right? See, Rachel cheated her father. She hid the idols. So Laban could not find the idols. So Laban lost the excuse, okay? Laban lost the legitimate Laban lost the legal right to prosecute Jacob. So Laban has to leave, period, okay? Because he could not find any idols hidden anywhere, okay? So Rachel kept the idols. Now, from Rachel's idols, it's suddenly everyone in the household has got idols. See, idols somehow has a way to multiply themselves, okay? Idols would give rise to a bad influence in the household. Whenever there's an idol in there, other people would like to buy idols too. No, it's not giving birth to another idol, but if you see someone with an idol in your home, you would be inspired to buy your own idols. Okay, and when someone else saw you buy idols, okay, your sisters or your brothers would buy more and more idols. That's how Hindu homes have got so many idols. They keep on adding to it. They keep on buying more and more. You see, Jacob was too busy mentally thinking about Esau and trying to think about running away from his father-in-law Laban, that he did not notice. You see, Laban, you went to strike a covenant with Jacob. After that, they say that, well, okay, why don't we just make up? And, you know, you have to go anyway. If you want to go, you have to go, because God, your God has told me not to harm you. And I lost the legitimate or legal reason to prosecute you because I found no idols in the eye. I have to go. But, you know, and so, why don't we just have one good meal together and et cetera, and then, you know, and you go on your way, and then I'll just kiss my grandchildren goodbye and just to save face, et cetera. And then chapter 32 says that Jacob, when he goes home, he has to confront his brother that wants to kill him. 20 years. Esau is not someone that would forgive and forget. Now, how many cultures in the world don't forgive and don't forget?
A lot.
A lot, especially the Chinese culture. How many of you have watched the movie Hidden Crouching Tigers and Hidden Dragons? How many of you watched the movie? Typical Chinese, okay? Someone, you know, whose master, you know, died, okay? Killed by an unknown assassin. Okay, so you know what he would do?
He learned Kung Fu.
That's right. You know, he would disappear into the mountain and learn Kung Fu and martial arts that he can revenge, okay? So 20 years later on, okay, he is now the master of his skills, okay? He went back. He found his enemy, okay, the one that killed his father. And by the time, okay, the guy's come an old man. He's got, you know, sons and, you know, and grandsons that don't know what's going on. And suddenly he'll become the assassin to kill and avenge his father's death, okay? And you know what? The next thing is that, you know, the person that died, his sons, now went to the mountain, okay? They learned the martial arts, okay? So they come back and they will revenge, okay? See, Jacob's brother, Esau, is of the same category. He is not someone that will forgive and forget, period. You see, there's something different between the Germans and the Japanese, okay? After the war, the Germans apologize every day to what they have done to the world, you know, through the Nazis. Has the Japanese ever apologized?
No,
never. The Japanese always want to hide what, you know, the atrocities they had. Not only that they try to hide, you know, the atrocities that they have done in China, but also now they're changing their own history. In Okinawa, in Hiroshima, the Japanese army actually forced many Japanese civilians to kill themselves so they would not become slaves of the Americans. The Japanese army massacred their own people, and now the Japanese historians try to even hide that from their own people. They are of a culture like us, maybe the Chinese, don't forgive and don't forget, okay? And never says a word of apology, never apologize to anyone, okay? You will find this out, okay? The Oriental people are very much like that, and you will find the same weaknesses in Jacob and Esau. Jacob has to confront his brother Esau, who would not forgive him, who would not forget what he has done to him 20 years ago. And his mind is too much preoccupied with that, with the insecurity and fear, that he forgot to confront Rachel about the idols. Yes, well, Esau is perhaps related to us. He's Middle East, okay? Okay, I would say that he is an Asian, okay? They're not Europeans, okay? They're Asians, okay? So they would be a close relative of the Chinese, okay? And in a way, our cultures are very similar. See, Jacob was too much preoccupied with his own fears, and he forgot that as a husband, he should confront his wife's idols. In love, okay? Confrontation requires love. See, the Bible says that as Christ loved the church, Christ would die for the church because Christ is the husband in the Bible. Christ would symbolize the husband, that Christ would die for the church. And the church being symbolized by the Bible as the bride should love, respect, and honor the husband. Christ. See, Christ would die for the church, and the husband would have to die for his beloved wife. And the wife should actually be submissive to the husband, should obey them. For the honor and glory of God. That is what keeps the household together. And so today we'd like to conclude, and let's conclude with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord. You have told us the seven things that happens with people that worship idols, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would just bless us and cleanse our hearts, that we would not be filled with idols in our homes, visible and invisible, Lord, that we'll cleanse every idol from our lives, Lord, that we'll give you the proper praise in our lives. We thank you in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus.